Well, I guess if you've been watching the news, you might be thinking something like, hey, what's wrong with people these days? What are we missing in our society? What are we missing in our culture? And if you've seen what the topic of tonight's sermon, we're talking about masculinity. And I believe we have a masculinity crisis in this country. And if you hear the world say it, it's that we have too much masculinity, that we have toxic masculinity. And I think that's part of the problem. Young men are kind of being beat down in a world of moral relativism where, you know, you got a million different supposed genders that you can pick, and all of them are good and okay, and you can just pick whichever one you want, and that's good and fine, but a male, that's bad. It's bad to be a man. You understand how, especially our young boys and young men, might be discouraged, some to the point that they snap, break. And we've seen some of that going on with some of the shootings, and it's a tragedy. And obviously, those individuals are sick, wounded. There's no excuse to be made for a tragedy like that. But it makes me wonder where, you know, the idea. Where did chivalry go? Chivalry is dead. Chivalry is gone. I believe it was in October last year that I preached a sermon on strength and honor, similar type topic, but I thought Memorial Day is a perfect day to talk about this concept, the idea of chivalry, because chivalry is really a broad, complex, all-encompassing term, but it's one that is not pushed in our society. Strength and honor, I don't know that people give much thought to being honorable and what it means to be honorable, but on tomorrow, Memorial Day of all days, we're remembering gallant, honorable men that had valor. These words, valor, duty, honor, they used to mean something in our society, and not just for the military, but every man felt like he had a role in society. And I think we need to talk about this because we need to instill our young men with a sense that they are valuable and that they have an obligation and a duty, and they serve a purpose in society, and it's not just to get out of the way. And when we see the horrible things going on and the abortions going on as well, the slaughtering of innocent life, what we see is a disrespect for human life. And the men are told, hey, no uterus, no opinion, step aside. They're told, you can't have an opinion. And instead of taking charge and fulfilling your God-given responsibility to lead and protect, no, get out of the way, step aside. But that's not right. That's not what it's supposed to be. So you begin to realize, well, of course, we have a masculinity crisis in this country. The crisis isn't that there's too much of it. It's that there's too little of it, and there's not a full understanding of what it is. What we're not talking about here is being the stereotypical man who is machismo and is kind of oafish. No, it's much deeper than that. We'll get to chivalry at the end of the lesson, but part of the definition of chivalry is that one is courteous. So I want to talk about that. First and foremost, you know, that idea, that concept of chivalry is kind of born out of the Middle Ages of a knight fulfilling his duty and the spirit and system and customs, the ideal qualities of a knight, a valorous, respectable person. And on Memorial Day, what we stop and we wonder, you think about the men who gave up their lives for others. They made the ultimate sacrifice. They understood duty. They understood honor. And they laid down their lives for you and me, for us to have freedom. They had all of these qualities when they went off to war to fight for you and for me. And one of those qualities is courtesy, that they did that for somebody else. They did that because they cared about somebody other than themselves. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, the scripture clearly states, this isn't a feminine quality, courtesy. It's one that maybe men struggle with more, but it ought to be a part of what true masculinity is when we work it in with this idea of duty and honor and sacrifice. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. So again, you know, I get it. My dad wasn't the overly emotional, gushy-gushy, hey, lots of hugs and kisses kind of guy. More of a man's man. I'm more of that type myself, but you know what? It's not wrong to show affection to the little ones. To still be strong and masculine, but to be caring and compassionate. I think of Jesus as the ultimate example of compassion. You cannot search in your Bible app the word compassion, and you'll see Jesus over and over again that he had compassion on them. Where does that come from? It comes from loving God, yes, but loving your neighbor as yourself. And so what we're commanded, what we're charged to do as men, but as all people, you know, these qualities, valor, honor, chivalry, duty, they're not just for men. We all can be courteous to one another. We all need to be courteous to one another. This isn't a gender-specific commandment. It's just what the Scripture teaches us to do, to be tenderhearted, to love as brothers, to love and have compassion, to be courteous, to be conscientious. This is something that I'm always working on. I don't know if it's guy brain. I don't want to put a label on it, but it's just the way that I am sometimes. I get locked in on my track, and there's just things that don't occur to me. And I have to work very hard to overcome my natural selfishness and make sure that I'm conscientious, considering the needs of others. But that's part of what this is, part of what this masculinity is having compassion and making these sacrifices in this duty. And it starts, we talk about the value of life. How do we fix the sickness in our culture? It's got to start with, instead of selfishness, being courteous to one another. Titus chapter 3, verse 2 says, speak evil of no one, avoid quarreling, be gentle, to show perfect courtesy to all people. I don't know if anyone's perfectly courteous, but, you know, there's manners, there's yes ma'am, yes sir. There's politeness, there's respect, there's thoughtfulness. These are all positive characteristics. They're not feminine, they don't make you weak. In fact, they make you, if you possess all the masculine characteristics and you add to it courteousness, make you something much higher, a much higher calling. I think of a noble knight. Think of a man of honor. That's our next idea, this idea of showing courtesy to people. Not just showing courtesy to people, but showing honor to people. And I guess honor has two parts of it. One of it is showing honor to others, and the other is being honorable yourself. That is, showing respect to others, being respect and being respectable, being a respectable person. So having personal honor, but also showing honor to others. Romans chapter 10, verse 12 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. So you see these ideas closely related. That yes, being courteous to one another and showing honor to one another. Honor may seem like a more masculine phrase, but everyone shows honor, not just men. Particularly when we think of this concept, I think of a soldier, I think of a police officer, someone like that who may think of honor on a regular basis, think about what it means to try to be an honorable person. And again, I'm not sure in our society if honor means as much as what it used to mean. If people give thought to what is honorable, being honorable, and showing honor, when, you know, again, cultural relativism is out there. Everybody has a different view of what is honorable and what's not honorable. We know where we get our definition of what is honorable, what is good, what is right. Those things come from the Scripture. And we need to make sure that we have courtesy to one another, but that we show honor to people. And respect is given, not earned, I understand. Honor is something that you should show to all men, being image bearers of God, the sanctity of life, being in all people, being created in the image of God, that there's a certain level of honor and respect that you give to all people, whether they reciprocate or not. That to our fellow man, to our brothers, we ought to give preference to one another, be kind, and show respect. Romans chapter 13, verse 7 says, render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes is due. Customs to whom customs are due. Fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor is due. That there's a certain level of respect that, yes, you teach your kid to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. But it goes beyond that to actually show respect. Many people, they lack respect for those in authority, police officers, judges in courts, you're just acting a fool. There's very little respect, even so much as to the point where I knew of one school district where they had to ban the parents from wearing their pajamas into the school to pick up their kids because they were wearing inappropriate clothing. There's just maybe a lack of respect for other people and privacy, self-respect, respect for others, showing people common decency and honor, recognizing there's a time and a place for everything. And you know, in a world where it seems like people are going crazy and everybody does what's right in their own eyes, we ought to seek to be a little bit above that. The call of Christ is not, I can do whatever I want, be whoever I want. If it offends somebody, so be it. I'm just going to do it anyways. Well, I'm not a big fan of offense taking for offense taking's sake. But trying to show people honor, trying to show people respect, trying to be someone who's respectable is something that should be on our mind. And, you know, the disrespect for the older generation in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, it says, you shall rise before the gray-haired and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God, I am the Lord. That, you know, there's a lot of customs. Maybe it's my generation, you know, wearing hats indoors. That's a thing that I've never understood why that's disrespectful, but I just always heard that it was. I never got it. I don't understand. I think there's some sort of a gap. Maybe it's because these values were not fully instilled into the younger generation. But something like standing when someone walks into a room, especially someone who is older, as a show of respect, when you go to greet someone, standing up out of your seat, and, you know, people say, oh, no, don't get up, don't get up. Doesn't go on as much as what it used to anymore. Why? Maybe it's because there's a lack of respect for one another and understanding the level of honor that goes behind someone with wisdom. But, you know, you hear people just trashing, oh, the old people, they're ruining the country. The younger generation may say something like that. Well, the older generation is supposed to have wisdom. And just the total disrespect of that is astounding in our culture. Very little honor for people who have been there, done that, in the respect. So, again, the Christian, should they be lacking in showing honor to other people? Certainly not. The Christian should be going out of their way, trying to give preference to one another, outdo one another in showing honor, as the scripture says. We ought to be the kind of people that want to be as respectful as we can to others and understand, you know, with Memorial Day coming up, giving honor to those who did an honorable thing and making the ultimate sacrifice for you and me to be able to worship here, to be able to worship here unmolested, for us to have rights, for us to have freedoms, that there are some actions that are honorable. So that's the other side of honor. Giving honor and then trying to be honorable. Pray for us, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18, pray for us that we are confident that we have a good conscience and in all things desiring to live honorably. So that's the question. Do you desire to live honorably, to live a life of honor? Do you personally make those types of sacrifices? Do you personally make sacrifices in your life for the Lord? Do you try to earn the sacrifices that others have made on your behalf? I'm sure for most of the people in this audience, your parents sacrificed a lot to put you in the position that you're in now. Why? Because they love you and they want you to make the most of those sacrifices. And I believe Christ, who made the ultimate sacrifice, wants you to do the same. And so to then live flippantly in prodigal living is an ultimate disrespect to those who did make that sacrifice for you to live. So we have a certain responsibility to live honorably ourselves in our lives in a way that would be respectable. And so that gets to our next point, the idea of duty. Again, this is another one of those words that maybe has more of a military connotation to it, or a police officer, that they have a certain duty to stop the bad guy, to step in, to do the right thing. And I hear a lot of people talk about my rights, what is owed to me, what people should give to me, what respect people, and really they don't really have a problem with honor either, in that, hey, you better show me honor, the honor that I'm due. The other side of it, showing honor to other people, well, then there's a problem. But this idea of duty, that I have a responsibility to the people around me to act right, to live honorably, to do the right thing, it seems to me to be somewhat lost on our culture, that if you're not a police officer, then I have no duty to do anything for anybody else. And I'm going to look out for number one. I'm going to look out for me. But do we have a duty to serve, to love, to live honorably? Of course we do. Luke chapter 17, verse 10 says, "Likewise, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" That there's supposed to be in us a mindset of, oh, I'm just doing my job, ma'am. I'm just doing my job, sir. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. And do I want a prize? Do I want an accolade? Do I want all this honor for it? No, I'm just doing it because I feel a personal responsibility that that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And there are some things in life that, yes, you should just do because they're the right thing to do, and you have a duty to do them. And if we instill this in young men, you can see how they might feel like, well, yes, I have a duty. I have a job. I have a mission. I'm important. And what I do matters. And what I do to others matter. And other people have value, and it's my duty to do right by other people. And I have that responsibility. And I think of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. "The end of the matter has been heard. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." That man has responsibilities. Yes, responsibilities to each other, to love our neighbor as ourselves, but to love God first and foremost with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That fearing God and keeping his commandments, this is the whole duty of man. It's why we were created. And yes, you have a responsibility to be all you can be, as the old army, I don't know what the new military recruitment ads say, but that's what I remember when I was a kid, be all you can be. The idea was that you could live up to some higher calling, that you could be almost something bigger and greater than yourself. Well, what higher calling do we have than to serve God and keep his commandments? There is no higher calling for us. And we all, again, whether you're man or woman, you have a duty to be, as the songs we sang, a soldier of Christ. That it is our responsibility. And we have responsibilities to love our neighbor, to take care of others, to do for others. And back onto the masculinity side of things, I think, okay, so what's the man's duty? What is the man's duty? What is he supposed to be doing? Well, he's supposed to be a father. In Ephesians chapter 6, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." What is his responsibility to his family? Fatherlessness is a huge epidemic problem in our culture. We see all the problems, all the crime, all the rampant, horrible things that go on with the fatherless. So whose fault is that? Well, men have to instill all these values that we're talking about, courtesy, honor, duty. Men have to teach their boys how to be a real man, how to show love, how to give respect, how to show respect, how to be respectable, and that they have a certain duty, and you show that by doing your duty, by raising them right, by taking the lead. You see the masculinity behind this, that it is their job to lead the family, to teach them the things that they need to know. Without this, how will they learn these lessons? How will they learn what a man is supposed to be if no one teaches them or shows them what it's supposed to be? And what else do they show? What is their duty? But to show them how to sacrifice for the family. right above that in chapter 5, verse 2, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. That husbands have a responsibility to their wives, to their family, to love their wife, and yes, show affection, as we saw before, to be courteous, to show compassion. It's not feminine to show your wife that you love her. It's a very masculine thing for a man to love a woman, I would think so. And to show her respect, to show her kindness, to show her love. And not only that you love her, but that you'd be willing to sacrifice yourself for her. How many men wouldn't be willing to take a bullet for their family members, for their wives, for their children? Of course they would. That is their duty, and that is the ultimate sacrifice. And on Memorial Day, we thank those who had that sense of duty and understood what it means to sacrifice. Now, not every single one of us is a cop or a police officer, and probably nobody's going to shoot at your family members so that you have the opportunity to prove that you're willing to sacrifice yourself for them. So what kind of sacrifice are we talking about? We're talking about the sacrifice of daily life. Every day you sacrifice your time, you go to work, probably 40 plus hours a week. You sacrifice a lot for your family. And I had a whole sermon on sacrifice, so I don't want to beat this one to death. But the idea is that Christ sacrificed himself for you and for me, for the church. And that's the same kind of level of sacrifice he wants us to give to our families, to love them so much that we're making a self-sacrificial life. And I like Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's easy to say, yeah, I'd push you out from a bus and get hit by the bus. I'd die for you, and then boom, it's over. What's more difficult is to wake up every day and live a life of a living sacrifice. To wake up and choose to make this honorable sacrifices that you need to make every day to do the right thing, living for others, giving of your time, giving of your affection, giving of everything that you have. Christ gave it all, and he asks us to sacrifice our life, to put to death our own selfish ambition, our own selfishness, and to really, truly be this knight in shining armor for your family. This man who's willing to lay it all on the line, to sacrifice everything that he is. And everything that he is this striving to be this ideal man. A man of honor, a man of duty, a man of sacrifice. And it takes a lot of courage to do that. And this is another word, I don't know, that gets discussed a lot. Valor. I don't know if that means much. I had to look up the definition myself on this one so I could give you an accurate definition. But the idea is strength of mind and spirit that enables a person to encounter danger with firmness and personal bravery. Do we have that, men? Are we brave? Do we boldly face the challenges of life? Or do we cower at the challenges that are set before us? And when I think of the mighty man of valor, I think 1 Chronicles chapter 11 with David. David just asked for a drink, and his mighty man of valor went and got him one. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 16. David then was in the stronghold, the garrison, the Philistines, that was in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink from the well at Bethlehem, which is at the gate." So the three broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water from the well at Bethlehem that was at the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, David would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, "Far be it from me, O my God, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of these men who have put their lives in jeopardy for the risk? For at the risk of their lives they brought it." Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. These men, the three mighty men of valor. You talk about brave. They risked their lives, broke through the enemy ranks just to get him a drink of water from the water that he liked, from the well that he liked. And maybe that's not significant to you because we got clean water everywhere, but you know, maybe they didn't have access to the cleanest water, but that was a good well. That was pure water, and man, he must have been thirsty to say, "Man, you know, what'd I do for a drink of that water?" And these men loved him so much that they're willing to risk life and limb to get him something as simple as a pleasant nice, cool, refreshing, clean drink of water. Most people wouldn't sacrifice their tea time, their golf time, or whatever regularly scheduled program that they have. I'm not going to miss my show if it means I got to give up my time to do something for somebody else. Well, there's the sacrifice. Well, where does valor come in? We talk about masculinity, talking about bravery, talk about courage. Well, it doesn't take courage to make a little sacrifice of your time. What takes courage is to stand up for somebody when you see that they're getting picked on in the lunchroom. What takes courage is speaking up at work when somebody's doing something that's wrong, you know it's against the scriptures, and not being afraid to say the truth anyways. That's courage. We may not have a lot of opportunities for battle, for whatever, but this is certainly a respectable attribute that any man would want to have. I think, men, would you rather a woman say about you, "Oh, he's nice," or, "Oh, he's dangerous," in a good way? We'll talk about this idea of harmlessness next week. I believe we'll get to that in Philippians, this idea of being harmless. I'm not sure there's anything virtuous about being a little bunny rabbit that's completely incapable of doing harm. God even has his righteous indignation, a sense of justice to him where he punishes the evildoer. The idea of being brave in the face of something that's terrifying, actually taking a personal risk for what you know is right. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about valor, that I have courage to do the right thing even at my own personal risk, even if it means it's going to cost me something. Particularly, generally, when you're talking about this, you're talking about physical danger. But Proverbs chapter 28 is a good verse on this subject. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Are we bold? Are we courageous in the face of the challenges that we face in life? I think you got to kind of make up your mind that you're going to be courageous. You got to have already determined, what am I going to do in this scenario? What am I going to do if somebody tries to hurt my family? Well, I'm going to do whatever I have to do. That decision is already made. But you know, when someone's life is in jeopardy, you never know how you're going to respond. You might freeze. You might do this or that. Well, if you're courageous, if you're a Christian, you say, hey, it doesn't matter what somebody does to my body. I'd be willing to sacrifice it because I know my soul belongs to God, so I'm going to do what's right. It takes a special kind of person to show those kind of traits. And again, on Memorial Day, who are we going to be remembering? Those who made the ultimate sacrifice. Those who truly had valor, that they were not afraid to go into battle and to fight for what they believed was right. And so there's a certain level of honor that goes to that, and a certain level of personal valor that we all need to aspire to be, not to be harmless, but to be like God. To be godly, to be honorable, doesn't mean you're totally incapable of harm, but it means you are capable of being dangerous, of being doing an act of valor, saving somebody who's innocent, and doing so at personal risk, doing so not being afraid of the consequences for myself, but being willing to do that because it's the right thing to do. And so then we get to this again, of kind of filling out this idea of chivalry. So what does it look like? Well, valor is certainly part of that. The qualities of an ideal knight, chivalrous conduct that are demanded of him, are to be conspicuous through his gallant and courteous and genuous behavior. Gallant, that's not a word we use very much, but the idea that, you know, we're willing to charge in, willing to do whatever's necessary, and that there is some code of conduct that you live your life by. I think of James chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone thinks, anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted of the world. When I think of chivalry, I usually think of it in the context of somebody saying, chivalry's dead. And what they mean by that is nobody holds up doors open anymore. People don't show respect. They don't show kindness. And so a lot of times I think of that as, hey, do I go out of my way to do for others? And do I especially go out of my way to do for others who can do nothing for me in return? Because that's kind of the situation with the orphans and widows. What do I get out of, if I'm nice to somebody who I think, oh, well, they'll do me a favor in the future because, you know, they're rich or they got this. Are you really, why are you serving them? Why are you helping them? Pure and undefiled religion before God is to visit those who are helpless, those who need the help the most, especially in ancient times, those who were orphans and widows. They had no one to help them, no one to protect them. So the ultimate form of chivalry to me is defending the defenseless, helping the helpless, being kind, and being this, like we said, this knight in shining armor, the protector of good and innocence. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, as being heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Well, you might want to do it just because you don't want your prayers to be hindered, but think about all these. It's your duty to honor the weaker sex. And I get it, that's for some people, that's offensive in today's world. But that's what the Bible says. You're to treat your wife tenderly, kindly, in an understanding way, giving honor to them, putting them up on that pedestal as a treasure in your life, recognizing them as equals in the eyes of God by the receiving the same amount of grace, and understanding that is your duty to, yes, walk around and maybe open the car door. MK, I don't know, she probably doesn't want to wait for me to walk all the way around to the car door. There's a lot of women don't like that anymore. But the idea, going out of your way and showing kindness, of course that's a good thing to show honor. Should chivalry be dead? I'm sick of this battle of the sexes thing. The scripture is clear. Men honor women. Women honor men. Do it because it's your duty. Do it because it's the right thing to do. Take pride in doing what's right, showing honor to others, being kind to others. That's a masculine thing. When you're so strong and confident that, you know, what does it cost me to do right by others? It doesn't cost you. It fulfills your duty. It makes you honorable. It makes you what you're supposed to be. And it all comes back again, I guess, to this idea. You're only going to act all these ways. You notice all these things, a lot of them, they all have to do with not my life being all about me, but my life being all about others. What I can give to others. The courtesy I show to others. The honor I show to others. The duty that I have to others. The sacrifice I can make for others. The personal sacrifices, the bravery that I can show in defense of others, all these things, they come down to this idea of courtesy. And again, we don't have time to read every single passage, but in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were scattered, they were weary, scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. You've got the shepherds of this congregation. It's their job to watch after the sheep, to defend the sheep spiritually. And you have some folks that might take exception to being called a sheep. I guess being called a sheep in today's world is like to be called dumb and to be, you know, you're only a follower and all this kind of stuff. But seeing yourself as a shepherd or seeing yourself as a sheepdog doesn't mean I see myself as being a knight in shining armor. Doesn't mean I'm above everyone else. It means I serve everyone else. That it's my job to protect everyone else. And yeah, that gives you a sense of purpose. It gives you a sense of meaning. It's a feeling of God-given responsibility and duty. It makes you feel good about yourself. You're not doing it just to make yourself feel good about yourself. But let me tell you, you sure can't sleep easier tonight when you know you've done your duty. You've done right by others. And none of this is about looking down on others. It's about having compassion on others, serving others, wanting to protect people, especially those who need protecting the most. Does that define you? Could they put these words on your tombstone? Would that be how you would describe yourself, as a chivalrous person, as a person who lives their life for others? If not, I hate to break it to you. I don't care if you're man or woman here tonight. That's your duty. That's your God-given duty to be a servant, to have a servant heart. That's the way Jesus was. That's the way we need to be. And he paid the ultimate sacrifice when he died on the cross for you and for me. So if you want to honor that sacrifice, live a life of honor. Live a life that's worthy of that calling. We haven't talked about what it takes to become a Christian, but if you believe, you can be baptized. You can wash away your sins. You can leave here with a clear conscience and strive to live up to these ideals. And if you're here tonight and you've already become a Christian, but you realize, this isn't my strong suit. I need to get better. I need help being more conscientious and courteous and showing all these great characteristics. We'd love to encourage you in whatever way you need to be encouraged. So if you need the prayers of the congregation, if you have any needs, please make them known while we stand, while we sing.